It's crazy to think about, but it's estimated in the next few years, 50% of the world's workflow force is going to be freelance. And if you're not thinking about that, if you're not figuring out how you can get freelancers or contractors to do projects for you and your business, then you're probably going to be missing out and you're probably going to lose out on what's happening right now. Shahar Erez is ahead of this. He's built a tool to make sure that this whole process is super simple. And he explains exactly what you should be thinking about in terms of your future workforce. Check this one out.
Welcome to Sastery in the Making, the podcast that features the people who made the software world what it is today and the leaders who are shaping the future of technology. Here's your host, Matt Wallach.
That's right. This is Sastery in the Making. Welcome. Welcome. My name is Matt Wallach. I am your host. I am really glad to have you here. Thanks for coming. By the way, I'm a SaaS coach and I help people accelerate their SaaS companies and make sure that they can close a lot of deals. And so one of the things we're doing here is making sure you're doing that. And that's why we bring you awesome, amazing guests every week so that you can learn more from their experience. And my guest today, I'm really excited about. I've got Shahar Erez with me. Shahar, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me here.
Absolutely. I appreciate you coming. Let me tell everybody about you, Shahar. So Shahar, he's the co-founder and CEO at Stoke Talent. And Stoke's platform empowers organizations with a solution to manage their growing on-demand, non-payroll workforce. The platform provides a streamlined interface to make sure all of your non-employees are operating according to policies, legal constraints, and workforce classification. With all the talk around freelancing and finding people to do things on more of a contract basis, he is the man around that. And so I'm really interested to learn more from him. So once again, Shahar, thanks for coming on the show.
Once again, thanks for having me. It's great.
Absolutely. So, you know, to get things kicked off, just tell me a little bit about what you've been up to lately and what's coming up for you.
Well, we got acquired by Fiverr about 6-7 months ago. So right now, I'm mostly focused on building up Fiverr's B2B business unit, connecting, you know, what Stoke Talent did with a couple of other Fiverr assets and turning it into a more robust platform to help organizations diversify and embrace flexible workforce.
So can we talk a little bit about that? Like what is Stoke Talent? What exactly does it do and who is it best for?
Sure. Now, maybe we should back up just before we get into, you know, what the platform does, which obviously I'm more than happy to talk about. But I think it's important to understand kind of what drove us into building Stoke and what we've noticed happening in the industry for the past, two decades. I've been in the industry for about 22 years now. And what's been obvious is that in the last 10 years, I'd say maybe 12 years, you know, change has been accelerating. SaaS companies, when I joined, you know, the industry 2000, 2002, most companies were still selling perpetual licenses. You can believe and remember that. I worked for a company called Mercury. We're one of the first companies to sell a SaaS model. Back then, subscription-based licensing back in 2002. And we got hammered, by the way, by the stock market back then. No one knew what to do with subscription model. Everybody knew it's like, you know, perpetual. But once SaaS became more pervasive, subscription became more pervasive, the connection with customers became a lot more direct, if you will. We started seeing this acceleration happening in everything that consumers and enterprises are doing. Mark Andreessen wrote an article about it in 2011, you know, age of acceleration, software is eating up the world. Depends how you want to read it. But what ends up doing is companies are moving a lot faster. Companies need to make decisions a lot faster. Mm-hmm. And that changed a lot in how companies need to operate, make decisions, deploy workforce to actually allow them to meet their goals and adapt to changing landscape. And so we kind of found ourselves, 5 years ago, in an intersection point where we're hitting what I think is has become the perfect storm. On the one hand, companies need to move faster, need to deploy workforce faster, need to understand which projects will work versus will fail. On the other end, they need more flexible budgets because they don't know. I mean, we're now in the midst of the fourth economic crisis in 2 decades. So it's like companies can't really forecast anymore. It's like, well, in 5 years, this is what's going to happen. No one knows where we're going to be 2 years from now. And so agility becomes the name of the game, not just in software engineering, but any business activity you're taking, you need that agility. So that's on the corporate side. Now, if we zoom out for a second, look what's happening on the workforce side. There's clear graphs by the IRS and DOL showing number of freelancers in the US and worldwide is growing exponentially for the past two decades. We passed the inflection point. By 2025, somewhere between 2025 and 2027, we're going to cross 50% of workforce being freelancers. 50% of the US workforce will be freelancers or engage in the freelance economy in some capacity. By the way, the freelance economy today is already about almost 6% of GDP. It's about $1.2, $1.3 trillion. So it's just gigantic. Why is that happening? Three core reasons. Number one, changing generation shift. Young millennials, Gen Z, have a different expectation in life. They need a different social contract. A lot of different reasons. Some of them have seen their parents working in the same company for 20 years and then getting laid off in one of the four economic crises we've seen in the last two decades. And so they don't believe that there's anything job security that exists. Working 9 to 5 doesn't do it for them. Second category has been internet and cloud computing. It allows anybody to work from anywhere around the world. Why do I need to show up to the office? That's pre-COVID. COVID has accelerated. It didn't change it. And so all these things together have kind of got us into this point where we're in the cusp of a significant shift in it's like another industrial revolution. This is the freelance or workforce revolution, and it has a lot of implications on companies. So that's kind of the long story, if you will.
It's super interesting. I love it. I mean, I didn't realize it was so big. I knew that it was something that was happening. It's something I've taken advantage of. I just didn't realize the shift was so massive. That's amazing.
Yeah. By the way, IRS forecast by 2030, 60% of workforce will be engaged in the freelance economy. There's enough research and papers out there. I don't know, 60 sounds a bit of a big number for me, but doesn't matter. If it's 45, it's still a huge number. It's just
no kidding.
And so when we saw that, when we came to realize, on the one hand, there's so much great talent choosing freelancing, corporates needs agility. And then we realized that while there were about, 300 or 400, online marketplaces back then, today there's almost 1,000, all of them were kind of built to a transactional business, swipe your credit card and, get someone to do your kid's birthday video or PowerPoint or whatnot. And we kind of said, in order for freelance economy to take off the way we think it will, we need to build a bridge between how corporates operate and how freelancers are available. Mm-hmm. What would fit the entire or internal organizational bureaucracy and policy? Who's allowed to hire a freelancer? How much are you allowed to pay them? Which legal documents they need to sign? How do you verify their tax legality? Should they get system access? How long can they work for you before you're running a workforce classification race? If they have system access, should you run a background check on them? It's like, how do you automate this entire process to make it very simple to anybody in the organization to go access, the gigantic pool of resources out there to help them accelerate execution? And that's what we set out to do with Stoke. Maybe the easiest way to understand it, think about the online marketplaces. It's very similar to the world of travel. So when you want to book a personal trip anywhere in the world, you're probably using, Expedia or Booking or Kayak, whatever it is that works for you. If you want to book a trip through any company you're working with, you're probably using something like a TripActions. And the core difference is, you end up boarding the same plane as everybody else. But the process to actually get to book the flight is completely different. There's liability and legality and insurance. And so we're building the corporate layer to help companies access this gigantic, almost endless pool of resources to match their needs.
That's amazing. So why would a company realize, hey, I need a freelance here versus somebody in-house? What goes into that decision?
First and foremost, I don't think we're going to see a world where everyone's freelancers. I think we're going to see a mixture. I think most companies have, by the way, I was engraved that way myself. My initial reaction is usually to find employees and not freelancers. That's how I started. But the reality is, hiring full-time employees takes a very long time these days. Training them takes a very long time. The cost of hiring a full-time employee or turnaround of a full-time employee, there's researches by MIT, I think it is, it's 6 to 9 months of salary turnaround of an employee. Just the cost is gigantic. So if you need someone that's core to your business and you need their knowledge for a long period of time and anything of that sort, get a full-time employee that's relevant. But even if you need a full-time employee and it's going to take you 3 to 6 months to hire someone, bring on freelancers in the interim just to start and get execution going. The other area of freelancers are significant to augment your existing team is areas of specialties. So I ran a marketing organization. I was acting CMO for $100 million revenue company. And it's like I couldn't afford getting, a designer team in-house and video artists in-house and PowerPoint designers and content creation and SEO, SEM, and Instagram. It's like you can't have experts for all these. So you either kind of sell down for mediocre execution and get someone that can get something basic out there, or you start tapping experts. And in that, you're augmenting your team with experts. There are special cases where you want to run a campaign. You need someone to clean up your CRM. So you bring someone in for a short gig. You want to write email templates for a marketing campaign. You need to build a mobile app for your application, get an external engineering. You need to integrate your CRM into whatever other organizational project management system, get someone that has done that before. So instead of trying to invent everything yourself, almost everything we try to do in organization has been done somewhere else before. And there's enough evidence that freelancers are more up to date with their skills compared to traditional employees. They're faster to hit the ground running because they're doing it again and again and again. They're great at passing knowledge because they have to do that. And so there's a lot of evidence where just bringing freelancers with knowledge in accelerates everything you do, helps you propel knowledge within your organization. Not to say some freelancers are better than others, just like some employees are better than others. Not
for sure.
I had my share of getting just, amazing freelancers and my share of getting mediocre ones as well.
Yeah, I can imagine. So what do you say to a business leader and they're thinking, well, I wouldn't mind freelancing. It sounds easy. It sounds quick, but they're a little worried about sharing their internal company processes or their passwords or whatever it is. What do you say to them?
So I think it depends. And there's some layers of trust and conviction. I wouldn't get my first freelancers and give them, keys to the submarine, as we call it. It's like, first you want to get to feel comfortable with them. If you want to get someone in that you're going to give them access to your source code, then there's process that you can provide to that process. Run background check on them, get references on them, interview them. It's like you can run the same process you run for employees. There really isn't a difference if you think about it. If I hire Matt, the freelancer, or Matt, the employee, how do you know Matt, the employee, isn't going to steal my information? Just because I turn him into an employee doesn't mean anything. They can still – Edward Snowden worked for the NSA. He wasn't – I think it was a contractor now that I think of it. But nonetheless, you can steal information as an employee or as a contractor. It doesn't really matter. And so that's not the category. Run the same, take the same prudent approach with both. But there are a lot of areas where it just accelerates the process tremendously.
Yeah, for sure. So if you're thinking, okay, I want to establish a freelance strategy, what should you do? What are some of your best tips for setting that up?
What we've learned is the first phase is just that, the basic level of conviction. So 90% of customers that we engage with, we're not competing with a different platform. It's mostly mindset. I don't know if I have freelancers. How do I know the freelancer is going to be loyal? Well, guess what? By the way, employees are now leaving within 12 to 15 months anyway. So loyalty is out the window. You're not searching for long-term loyalty. You're searching for someone that can hit the ground running, execute well, work with you, and have the dignity to pass the information to the next guy before they check out the door. And so it's a mental state before anything else. Make sure you have the right processes in place, because working with freelancers can provide tremendous value, but it also may put you in risk. Working with freelancers means you have to make sure they comply with anti-money laundering law, KYC, they don't belong to a drug cartel, They're legal to be paid. You have to collect their relevant tax forms. You want to make sure your data is protected. You want to make sure that you own the IP at the end of the engagement. And so there's a process that you need to go through. It's exactly what we're built Stoke for, to make sure that process is automated so you don't have to deal with it again and again and again. A lot of startup companies in their A, B, C rounds that we work with, what we find out is when they're going through the diligence for the next funding round, someone starts looking into what happened, starts seeing there aren't contracts in place, NDA and IP wasn't signed, and it slows down due diligence, more money goes into escrow, or they have to pay, you know, the penalties for not owning the IPs. Just make sure you have basic housekeeping rules so you don't run into challenges. Make sure that, you know, with changes in legislation in the U.S. around workforce classification, that you're not violating any freelancer, customer relationship, and accidentally turning those into employer-employee relationship, because then you're about to get penalties. And so one of the things we're doing is kind of helping you with that. You know, in California, AB 5 was legislated about almost 3 years now, around who's allowed to become a contractor, how do you keep contractor-customer relationship and not fall into weird traps. Every state in the U.S. has different laws. One of the things we help is kind of help you navigate those waters as well through the platform.
That's awesome. Does it matter if the contractor is, if you're a U.S. company in the States versus international?
It does. Well, are you asking for the corporate standpoint or the
companies, from the company's perspective? If you're the company and you're a U.S. company and you're thinking, okay, I want to think about a freelancer, does it matter where they look?
So our approach is find the best talent wherever they are, and the world has become flatter and flatter. You can get great talent around the world, sometimes for better fees, sometimes for more talented individuals. One of the things I keep telling people, they're reaching out to us to hire freelancers. What I tell them is we can find anyone for you. We cannot make up people for you. So every now and again, someone goes, oh, you know, I need an expert in this space at this specific time for $200. And I was like, I don't know how to make that. It's like, it doesn't exist. And so what people need to realize, there's a lot of opportunities out there. And the broader you give us, the reach, we can find anyone anywhere. Some things are easier than others, obviously. You know, graphic designer, all digital services are very easy to do remotely. Software engineering, for example, most people prefer those people to be in a similar time zone so they can become more of a team extension. So it really depends on the team dynamics and how they're operating. But I can tell you, as a small startup, we have people that are augmenting our team from the West Coast all the way to Siberia and India, Pakistan. Some things can be done anywhere.
Well, that's cool. So it doesn't really matter from a legal or tax perspective, or does it?
There are implications, but that's some of the things we automate for the platform. So if you're hiring a freelancer in the US, you have to collect W-9. If it's an international, it's W-8. You have to submit 1099 at the end of the year for a US freelancer. You got to submit a 1042-S for it. Again, so these are exactly things that we want to abstract. You know, focus on building your business, not on which paperwork needs to be submitted. Don't end up paying that for whatever third-party agency to submit a 1099 for you for whatever it is they're charging.
That sounds perfect. For me, I'm like, I don't want to deal with any of that. That sounds nasty. If a tool could just help me with that, that sounds awesome. So I'm glad you built that. Thank you for that. Do you have any stories around, if somebody's out there like, hey, maybe this will work for me, maybe not. Do you have any stories about good use cases where some of your customers took this and they implemented a good strategy, they had great success from it?
There's plenty. We have plenty, by the way, of success stories on the website as well. People are welcome to browse those later. SimilarWeb is our client. Their entire content team, they grew their content team using Stoke. I don't remember the exact numbers, but their entire content generation is managed through Stoke. We have an organization that's working with artists. They're paying over 1,100 artists on a monthly basis through Stoke. Wow. As freelancers, they're augmenting their work. We have an organization that does research for universities and academia in general, and they're deploying researchers in different areas of the world to collaborate, conduct the research on a specific topic, then to collaborate to bring it together and then submit the research. That's another area. So we're seeing a variety. We have two or three different companies paying, I think, 30 to 40 contractors each in engineering in Ukraine. And so we're kind of seeing a variety. Some of them are doing it on a one-to-one basis. Some are really deploying hardcore multiple freelancers. Pretty much any use case. We have fully distributed organization paying freelancers in 17 different countries at once. So.
That's amazing. I love it. There's so many different, you know, areas of potential. So, you know, just kind of wrapping it up, what advice, Shahar, would you give to somebody who's kind of just starting out and thinking about doing this? Where should they start? What should they be thinking about?
First of all, start. The world is changing and the number of available talent is going to go smaller every year now. More people are moving to this flexible engagement. COVID has accelerated it. So you need to start putting down the infrastructure, process, and DNA to allow your company to move forward. Start putting in resources to allow you to adopt flexible workforce. We're meeting companies that are already the 10 to 15% of the workforce being freelancers. Some are more advanced. Some have goals of, okay, so this year we got to get to 5% so we can be at 15 in 2 years. And so start having this, start experimenting and understand one of the worst approaches that we've seen with organizations is, you know, well, we'll need freelancers, we'll just start doing it. The thing is, once you need a freelancer, then you need it now. And then you don't have the time to deploy them. You don't have time to interview them. And then the entire engagement is not successful. So start putting in the time to start bringing in freelancers for small projects, learn how to work with them, which tools you need, how to define the work, whether you want them to become part of a team extension or just isolated projects. But make it a priority to start experimenting in this space, because within 2 to 3 years, your available talent pool is going to go smaller by 50%. That's going to be painful if you don't have the DNA.
Yeah, I love it. Start early, get ready, get the foundation there. That's perfect advice. Shahar, this has been amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing all of your knowledge and your wisdom from what you guys are doing. It's great stuff. It's definitely relevant to me. I know it should be for everybody out there as well. How can our audience learn more about you and Stoke Talent?
Well, you can find us on stoketalent.com. Or, you know, can find me or the company on LinkedIn, Shahar Erez, Stoke Talent. Happy to engage. Feel free.
Okay, perfect. Well, I really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
Cool. Thanks for having me. Have a good one.
Absolutely. And everybody else out there, thank you very much for coming. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. Make sure you're subscribed to the show. Hit that subscribe button. That way you're going to get notified of any new shows coming up. Lots of great content coming for you in the next couple of weeks. So be sure to hit that so you don't miss out on any of it. Thank you very much for coming, and we will see you guys next time. Take care.